This is the Your Vote, Your Voice Election 2020 podcast. Keep it tuned to 1030 The Voice for everything Election 2020. Local and national races, all the updates. Election 2020 lives on 1030 The Voice. Trusted local news and talk.
Laura Conover, first time guest on the show. Welcome. How are you?
Good morning, Zach. I'm really happy to be here. Thank you. Thank you for having us. And thank you for giving a focus to the Pima County attorney's race. I couldn't agree with you more. There's an old quote that says, you know, we spend a lot of our energy, our mental energy and time looking at things like the presidential race and big congressional races. And of course, that's important. But if we care deeply about where we live and our community and where we raise our families, you know, you look at who's running the county, and you look at the sheriff's race, and you look at the race for Pima County Attorney, or the DA, as we call it everywhere else.
Absolutely. And this is a little bit off the cuff, but I just saw this number recently. We don't elect county attorneys very often, right? There's been, I think, two in the last 40 to 45 years. It's a position, once you lock it in, it seems like there's not a ton of turnover. And so it's an open seat. It's a big deal.
That's precisely right, especially here in Tucson. I think in other places, and here historically, it was some kind of stepping stone originally. And we were celebrating Governor Raul Castro last night at the U of A. And he was Pima County attorney before he went on to an extraordinary career as governor and ambassador for us. And then Senator Dennis DeConcini after that was in the Pima County Attorney's Office. But then there was a 40-year partnership of Steve Neely and Barbara LaWall that set a philosophy and a culture and trained a lot of prosecutors, including my two opponents. And now with the announcement that Barbara LaWall is retiring, it is an open seat for the first time in 40 years. And I'm the candidate that's advocating bringing an attorney in from outside the agency, from private practice, from management experience in federal court. That's what I have to offer, bringing in an alternative in from outside the office to breathe fresh life into that agency.
So the concern of your platform is that your two opponents, Jonathan Mosier and Mark Diebold, are both within the Pima County Attorney's Office already. And your thought is you are an outside voice. You have a legal firm, as I understand. So you have experience in law in these matters, but not from the Pima County Attorney's Office. Is that one of the main themes that you would say separates you from the other two?
That's right. Between my two opponents, they have some 50 years together combined of violent crime prosecution for this administration. And of course, a violent crime unit, you know, is important in every county attorney's office across the country. But for electing the top administrator, that's less than 1% of the total job of the obligations and responsibilities that this leader needs to bring to the table. So I had 16 years law practice all here. I'm a lifetime Tucsonan, and it was all criminal justice. But 4 years ago, I built my own small practice, and that's certainly broadened my experience and my interest and my investment into the place where I live and work and where I'm raising a family. And it went from criminal justice, and it expanded to security clearance work. And I was hired by large construction companies and fiber optics companies to help hire people coming out of prison, getting them back to work. I became a victim advocate and started getting hired by families to help them process and manage the trauma associated with the criminal justice system. And then a year and a half ago, in advance of the government shutdown, the federal bench, the judges on the federal bench, appointed me to represent all 400 contract attorneys district-wide to the federal bench. And it turns out that I like to manage attorneys. And so I think this is the unique kind of skill set that we need in the leadership position to turn a leaf and start the next generation of young prosecutors who keep our community safe and sound.
We'll dig into the issues in your platform and some of the things that you feel differentiate you in the race. As our listeners are, you know, we'll have three options to consider. But we've got about a minute and a half, 2 minutes left before our first break of the hour. We call the show Tipping Point. All right. What was your tipping point? You might have hinted at it. I don't know, here in that last bit about you like to manage attorneys and you're good at it. But what was the tipping point where you said, I got to be one of the candidates in the race? What was the thing that kind of pushed you over the edge?
It's a great question. I think for any first-time candidate, it's just an extraordinary leap of faith, and it requires a lot of courage. And I think I had been courageous during my career in advocating for other people and vulnerable populations, but it was hard to look inward and see if I could be that candidate. But I was in court in November in Superior Court, and I watched a case unfold where a young man was being held on a $500 bond, even though if he went all the way to trial, he would not be sentenced to any prison time. He would be probation mandatory. And so it became a question as I sat there about why he was being held on a $500 bond, why we were paying to warehouse him, how we were using taxpayer dollars to do that. And my passion for criminal justice reform as both the fiscally responsible alternative and the more humane alternative, that was the moment. I think I was frustrated enough and passionate enough that I said, I'm going to file this month.
When we come back from the break, we'll dig into how that has translated into policy and what you see as the balance between safety and reform. We know more than 50% of Pima County's budget goes to justice and law enforcement. I've heard numbers as high as 60% of the budget is somehow related to the criminal justice system. And you write on your website, and this seems to encapsulate kind of what you're about, is we are spending tremendous time, energy, and resources filing felony charges against low-level substance abusers who need treatment, not prison. And so it seems that you believe that the current policy is heavy-handed and overfills our prison system, and you want to see that balance shifted. Your opponents will say some of those things are already at work as soon as this summer in the county. So are we already doing those things? And of course, your opponents have a tougher on crime message if they were to compare themselves to you. I want to get your response to that when we come back from the break. This is our first Get to Know You interview with Laura Conover, candidate for Pima County Attorney. Got to know her a little bit this first segment. We're going to dig in. We're going to talk some policy and platform when we come back here after our first break. You're listening to 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk. It's our Friday show. Hang out with us through the end of the hour. Don't go away. Good morning, Tucson. Welcome back. We are partway through our interview with Laura Conover, candidate for Pima County Attorney. And we got to know her a little bit more and some of her basic differentials, what things differentiate her from other candidates, got to know her a little bit and her experience. We're going to dig into some policy and platform here with Laura. Let's start by going to our phone lines. Sixto is on the line. He called 790-2040. Go ahead. You're on with myself and Laura Conover.
Yes, good morning. Here's a point I'd like to raise. It's been well documented that a lot of people, too many people, have been sent to prison over the years. When they get out of prison, they're labeled as felons. It used to be, the thought used to be that once you paid your debt to society, even though you were a felon, you didn't have to pay the price anymore. But that's not necessarily the case, especially when it comes to housing. These people that have paid their debt to society, that are working in the community now, can afford to live in better places. But because they have a felony record, they can't live in a nice place. So they're all forced to move into certain geographical areas where they don't have those requirements. And then what happens is you're forced to go along to get along, so then now you commit more felonies because you're surrounded by other people, other criminals that also live in the area. So you don't have a chance to reform yourself because you're caught in this web. So I'd like to advocate for the thought that once you pay your debt to society and you do your time, that you're no longer restricted from living in certain areas. So I'd like the guest thought on that issue.
Sixto, I appreciate your call. In 2019, Pima County Attorney's Office was estimated, I haven't looked at current numbers, to have filed more than 6,800 felony cases. Laura Conover, your thoughts on Sixto's call.
That's right. Chief Molina, thank you so much for calling in, and it's a pleasure to talk with you. I couldn't agree with you more, and when Zach talks about a tipping point, you know, there were probably so many of them for me over the years, but I've tracked the data last year, and Zach is quoting from my website at lauraconover.com that we set the all-time record this past year in the felonies we filed in Superior Court. We broke the record of for as long as they've collected that data, even at the time when our Republican sheriff tells us that the crime rate is down. I agree with you, Chief Molina, that there are something like 1,200 collateral consequences, as they call it now, to having a felony conviction, and housing is a huge one. And I have faith that someday we're going to make progress at the Arizona legislature on those priorities of trying to restore people's rights. But in the meantime, you absolutely need a county attorney who's much more judicious and considers much more carefully in filing felonies against people. Every felony you file destabilizes that person's employment for life. And therefore, you've destabilized the home for, I believe, two generations. I think every felony conviction upon a person destabilizes a home in our community for two generations. And when we use the jail as a warehouse for the poor and the addicted and the mentally ill, instead of choosing treatment at a third of the cost, they rotate in and out, and that's what creates our burglary rings. They have felonies, they can't get back to work, they're not getting treatment, and that's exactly how we create our burglary rings and our property crime problem in this area.
Laura Conover, you mentioned your website. I'll plug it again for folks to go and check out more, lauraconover.com, C-O-N-O-V-E-R. I think your website does a good job of prosecuting the case for why the reform is needed in your view. I want to wrap up with this because our time is just flying. I'm imagining some voters and and the two candidates, Jonathan Mosier and Mark Diebel, would make an issue maybe of, hey, we can make the streets safe. And a lot of people want safe streets. And so for someone who'd say, Laura, you talk about reform, I want safe streets. How does a Laura Conover, as Pima County attorney, balance reform with safety?
Absolutely. And our platform that really struck with me on day one was safe and sound. I think it's a more common phrase in Spanish, sano y salvo. It's what we want for our streets. It's what we want for our families. When we think about our kids, it's always like, did they get where they were going? Are they sano y salvo? Are they safe and sound? And when we came out of this 40-year era of starting on the war on drugs and tough on crime, we shifted that in the last 10 years or so to what appears to be a numbers game. And that's what drives these high, record-breaking, alarming number of felonies filed, even when our crime rate is down. And the problem is the budget is finite. You know, we have a budget. And if we take the bulk of that budget and we just drive in numbers of low-level nonviolent drug offenders into the system, then we take our eyes off who are actually harming our community. We have not had a financial crimes unit in that office in 20 years. That's day one for me. The fraud and the scamming of our parents and our grandparents, these calls that come in all day long, your social security number has been compromised. You know, that's irritating for us, but our parents and grandparents are falling victim to it. And I'm afraid at a record underreported rate. We're going to go after that immediately. We're going to hire an attorney with an accounting background, build a team take and collaborate from the brilliant minds in the civil unit, which is also part of the question here. And we're going to build collaboration with the Attorney General's office, with the U.S. Attorney's office, and we're going to go after the fraud and scam going on, hurting our community every day right here. That's how we have a healthier, safer community.
If there is anything else that you would distinguish yourself from the attorney's office the last 20 or some years, right? All three candidates running are replacing Barbara LaWall, running to replace Barbara LaWall. I think 24 years she's been in the position. Is there any other distinguishing factor you would say about your philosophy of law and criminal justice as a Pima County attorney you'd like to highlight as we wrap up our first get to know you interview here with Lara Conover?
I am pleased after studying the criminal justice system here in our community for a lifetime, 16 years as a lawyer and 10 years before that working in the community. I'm pleased that my opponents are new students to the idea of fiscally responsible, humane reform. And I'm pleased that they're talking about it. But what the community has here now is the chance for an authentic, devoted lifetime Tucsonan, a small business owner, a bilingual lawyer, someone who trains attorneys statewide on ethics, someone who's had management experience over 400 attorneys for the last year and a half. This is the diverse set of qualities that make me uniquely qualified to step into the leadership role for the entire county agency that is functionally the largest law firm in Southern Arizona. I think I have the vision to recruit, hire, and train the next generation of prosecutors who will keep our community safe and sound. And to that end, I'm getting notes from the team here to invite everyone to Brother John's next Thursday at 5:30 when we kick off and talk more about this vision for the future. It's exciting, Zach.
That's right. I saw that you do have a launch party coming up. One more time, LaraConover.com is your website. Any other direct points of contact you want to let our listeners know about?
Conover for County Attorney is a very active Facebook page. And then the Twitter handle, as I'm learning Twitter, Zach, is at Conover17L for Laura. You know, 16 years of criminal justice, I wasn't on any social media at all. But the team makes me. The team makes me.
That's right.
Yes.
Laura, this is not our first, not our last interview. Wanted to just kind of get to know you better and to allow the Tucson community to get to know more about what you're about. We'll schedule another time soon to talk more in detail. Thanks for, I say this to all candidates of all sides, thanks for stepping up and adding your voice in. Have a great weekend, and we'll talk soon.
What a pleasure, Zach. Thank you.
Thank you, Laura.